Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling, alongside with our host here, Joe Blewett. And we have a great show for you tonight, as best as we possibly can here on Jet Nation Radio. As we show up here on a Tuesday night, we are here every week, regardless, win or lose. This week, every Jet fan is just asking themselves the same question. Everybody wants to know, who do you blame? Do you blame the coach? Do you blame the quarterback? Do you blame the defense? Do you blame the offensive line? Do you blame the general manager? Do you even blame the owner? It's the blame game going on in Florham Park. It's the blame game for the New York Jets, who got probably the biggest beatdown I've ever seen in Jets history, maybe, last Sunday against the San Diego Chargers. You know, they came into a game off another tough loss against the Detroit Lions, and it looked like a team that didn't even show up. It looked like a team that was playing with no heart. It looked like a football team that has given up on their season and given up on their staff and their coach. It just looked like a football team that has no ability to compete. You know, I've said from the beginning I thought the Jets were a good football team. I don't think anybody can say that they're a good football team after what we watched last week. Again, you know, the question tonight that we have for everybody is, who do you blame? Who are you pointing the finger at for this season so far and for this team that the Jets are putting out on the field on a week-to-week basis? And now the wheels have fallen off of the wagon. Before we get into it, I just want to remind everybody that Jet Nation Radio and JetNation.com is sponsored by Nimble TV. Nimble TV is a free service that lets existing cable subscribers in the Chicago and New York metro area put their channels in the cloud so they can watch it anywhere in the world on almost any type of device, which means football fans can catch all their games live when they aren't even at home. So Jets fans will never have to miss another snap again just because they weren't in front of a TV during the game. So go to NimbleTV.com to learn more. Again, that's NimbleTV.com to learn more. So, Joe, let's start it off, man. The negatives are there. The negatives is all we can talk about. So, Joe, I ask you, who do you blame for this debacle on Sunday?
It's the entire team. I tweeted during the game that this wasn't just Geno, it wasn't just the running backs, it wasn't just the offensive line. Every single person contributed to this loss. It was the offensive line not blocking. It was Geno throwing inaccurate balls, holding the ball for too long. It was the defense not tackling. It was the coaching for putting guys like David Harris and Calvin Pace on guys like Eddie Royal. I'm still definitely hurting from this, Brandon. I feel like this next hour is going to be a lot of negativity. So, it sucks, but the thing that's worse about it is that all these games, you know, against the Lions, against the Bears, we were competitive. We were within a touchdown. You know, there's always that possibility of, you know, we can come back, we can intercept the ball and get back into this game. But 31-0. It was very disheartening. It was embarrassing. I was at my girlfriend's house and sitting there watching the game when you're down 31-0 and not turning off the TV. It's kind of embarrassing. This is the worst loss, I believe, since 2012 when we got spanked by the 49ers 34-0. So it was very rough. I'm hoping we can rebound a little bit against the Broncos this week. But Jets fans better get prepared for some negativity this show.
I mean, it's all negative all around the entire franchise right now. And I mean, Joe, we've been talking about the quarterback situation because, again, it's a live and die league with your quarterback. And again, I'm so happy almost that Michael Vick was put in the game, because now you will finally stop listening to people chanting for Michael Vick, who absolutely looked abysmal out there in this football game. He couldn't move the football at all, had no touch to his passes. He was thrown out into the fire, and it just goes to show you, I mean, a lot of people look at me and a lot of people look at, you know, our show as, I've seen, you know, I've been, you know, we read everything that people write, you know, the people tweeting about us, you know, what are you going to hear, you know, what am I going to say about Geno Smith? And one thing I said to people was, you know, I was going to surprise some people, what I thought, because you know something, Joe? I don't put the sole blame on the quarterback. You know, as bad as Geno has regressed, it seems like that first half of the Packer game was almost played last year. It's almost how bad he's been, you know, in the past couple games. But it's been a collective effort. But the thing that really, really gets me the most, and what actually might lead to, you know, my opinion of Geno Smith even being benched for this week, is you're going to tell me that Geno Smith, the quarterback, the guy who has progressed to being a leader of this team, misses a team meeting before an NFL football game because he didn't know what time zone he's in? He's sitting at the movie theaters eating popcorn and having some Reese's Pieces while the Jets are going over a game plan, and the excuse is, oh, you know, it's an honest mistake. I got confused with the time. You're in San Diego, you moron. You're going to tell me you don't know the time difference? I mean, Joe, what do you make of that?
Yeah, that shows – I think that shows that he's starting to fold under the pressure a little bit, or he's not the quarterback that we all thought he was, at least in the classroom and things like that. You know, to say that you're in a different time zone and you forgot about the meeting or whatever it was, that's something I said in third grade to make an excuse for not giving in homework or missing work or something like that when I was a little kid. If you're a professional quarterback, especially a starting quarterback for an NFL team, you don't say you missed it because, oh, I don't even care what it was. I don't know exactly what it was. Nobody does. But I don't care if your phone was dead. I don't care if you're in a different time zone. I don't care what it was. And, you know, so there's no excuse for that. He's the leader of this team, especially in a time right now where – during that meeting, they were 1-3. You know, the season's starting to go down the drain, and he doesn't show up for a meeting when he's supposed to be the leader of the team. And especially when you have a guy like Michael Vick behind him, who there's definitely some guys in the locker room who silently want Michael Vick to start because they feel like he gives them a better chance to win. And you have to have Geno doing everything he possibly can to be showing those veterans and those guys that he should be the quarterback of this team. And then you go and miss a meeting for a movie. It's absolutely ridiculous, Brandon.
Now, Can we finally put to bed that Michael Vick gives the Jets a better chance to win? Can we end that discussion? Can we not have – I mean, does anybody – here, the question again that I'll ask, we can put it out there on Twitter. Does anybody actually truly believe that Michael – after what we saw last week, can we end the Michael Vick gives them a better chance to win discussion, Joe? Can we end it? Can we put it to bed? Can we write it off? It's done?
Yeah, I think you can. And a lot of people who didn't actually watch the game were saying, oh, well, he was 8 for 19. He had 47 yards when Geno was 4 for 12 with 27 yards. But at a point, Michael Vick, I believe, was like 1 for 11 and like 12 yards or something like that. A lot of his yards were picked up in garbage time. Vick looked old. He didn't look like the same Vick that he was in 2006, 2007, and when he was on the Falcons, and even in 2010 when he was on the Eagles. He looked like he was disheartened. He didn't look like he had control of the team. It was a really bad game, and I know a lot of people are blaming Geno, and I blame him for some of this stuff. You know, there's little things. He's been missing balls, but he's pressured on 35% of his dropbacks, which is the third highest in the NFL. So you can't blame him for that, and especially when he is one of the worst quarterbacks. Under duress, he only completes 32% of his passes when he's under duress. So you have to blame a little bit of the offensive line for that. There, I went back and watched the film, and there were some very simple blitz pickups that the guards and the tackles and even the tight ends
didn't
pick up.
Look at you. I think you might have watched more film than Geno Smith then, Joe.
It's just that there's very simple things, like when you see a safety coming down or that even a center or Nick Mangold or Geno should pick up on, that the formation slides to another side, so you can tell that they're blitzing. It's just very easy things you can point out that multiple people on the Jets. It wasn't just Geno. It was the receivers. It was the tight ends. It was everybody. There's not one person on this team who impressed me other than Ryan Quigley, who is starting, who had the 49 yards per punt. So when Ryan Quigley is your number one positive out of the game, it was bad. It was the whole entire team. There's not one person you could point out, literally, other than Ryan Quigley. D. Milner had a decent game. He had two pass breakups. Mm-hmm. You know, Ivory he gets 9 rushes. He had 44 yards. I don't understand what Marty's doing with him still. My mind is still it's still in shambles. I have no idea what's happening with Ivory. I'm still confused with how they're using Jason Morrow. I know he's leading tight ends in receiving yards with 144 right now, but he's not using him the way I think they should. I think they should use him more of as a vertical threat and not just a little doing little slants and little curls and just little short routes and not maximizing his possibility. He was in a vertical offense in Texas Tech, and then you put him
right
in an offense where he's doing short routes. They're not taking advantage of him. You know, we all saw number 24. A lot of people were joking about it. Oh, it's Revis, but Phillip Adams, you know, he got that interception. He didn't play too bad for being a cast off of Seattle and Oakland. So he didn't look too bad. But there's a lot of negativity in this game. It was bad, but we're going to have to try to adjust against the Broncos. It's going to be a tough week this week.
Good luck. Good luck is all. I mean, when I looked at this game and I look at the Jets right now, my biggest concerns and my biggest problem is you look at this offense. From the beginning of the year when you saw the routes they were running, they were moving the football, they were very effective in the pass game. Geno Smith had a decent game against the Raiders, had a fantastic first half against the Packers, and even played well in the second half. He had a good game against the Packers. I think we can all agree that he had a good overall game against the Packers. So you move over to the Chicago game, he has a bad game. Okay, they're still in that game. They still have a chance to win. They got the ball going down the field. They stall in the red zone, and they give Chicago the ball back. Game over. The fumble, is it a fumble? Is it not a fumble? Did they blow the play dead? So many questions you ask. The Lions game, they're running the ball right down their throats the first drive. You're thinking, okay, you know, they're moving the football again. They're moving the ball. This game, Joe, they couldn't move the ball. You know, they just needed penalties to get they needed a penalty to get across midfield in the fourth quarter.
It
was disgusting. It was a disgusting offensive performance from an NFL football team. And here's my next question. I am one of the biggest Rex Ryan supporters there is. I'll continue to support Rex Ryan. I think it will be a shame to see Rex Ryan get fired. I think he's a great coach. I think that he can make things happen defensively. I don't think he has the tools and the weapons right now to make things happen defensively. I don't think he has the talent on this roster. He'll tell you every single day, the talent's here. I just don't see it. You see it in the secondary. I've said it from the beginning. They didn't put the pieces in place for them to be successful in the secondary this year. But I believe that looked like a lifeless football team. They were lifeless in the secondary. They were lifeless on offense. They did get some pressure. Oliver is their fourth string running back, and he looked like Barry Sanders out there against the Jets. And that's supposed to be your defensive line and your running defense got gashed by a practice squad guy. So, it's atrocious. There's no other way to describe it but atrocious. But let's go to Zach, who wants to talk about Geno Smith. Go ahead, Zach. You're on Jet Nation Radio.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Question. Obviously this week's performance was, you know, dreadful, you know, very disappointed. You know, people had high expectations, but, you know, that's what comes with a rookie quarterback, you know. You're going to have your ups and downs. You know, this year they're in the stage of, you know, trying to develop him, see where he can go, see if he can lead them in any positive directions. You know, and, you know, as Jet fans, you know, we haven't seen that yet, but we all know that we all hope, you know, that Rex has a plan. And I do honestly believe Rex should be the coach, and he will be the coach by the end of the year. You know, he even said, you know, his job's on the line. You know, if they don't, you know, even if they probably won't make the playoffs, or even if they don't, you know, all these guys on the Jets, you know, they really have his back. You know, everybody's got Rex's back. You know, Rex, he's not going to get any more honest than he is, you know. But, it's just disappointing. I know with the meeting, you know, I don't really buy that stuff. I mean, I'm sure it's true and all that stuff. But, like, that still shouldn't throw off his game or any, you know. Geno Smith should still be the quarterback that can do, you know. And who knows, maybe they can, you know, somehow come out of
Zach, I'm with you. But I got a a couple disagreements there. I am all for developing Geno Smith, letting him play, and I still believe he's the best quarterback on this roster, and I think most Jet fans believe that. But my problem is, Zach, I can't sit there and say there's going to be a plan, there's going to be this. You know, I can't even bring up the word playoffs. That I really, really can't do. That is, I wish we had the soundboard of the playoffs commercial with Jim Mora, because they just need to win one game, and that's the truth. So you're looking at a team right now. My biggest problem with Geno Smith is not only is he folding under pressure and not playing well with the guys on the offensive side of the ball. You cannot miss a team meeting based off of a time zone change as the starting quarterback of an NFL football team. I truly believe that if the Jets want to help his development, hey, Geno, guess what? We're playing the Denver Broncos this game in a must-win week. You're going to sit on the bench for the first half of this football game because, you know what? We can't stand for people missing team meetings, especially the day before a football game. I truly believe that the repercussions from the Jets about him missing a team meeting for a time zone change is a joke. It's an absolute joke. There needs to be more repercussion. He needs to take more responsibility for his action. Don't tell me it's an honest mistake. Well, you know, I was sitting having some popcorn and a diet soda, and I looked at my clock and I said, oh, man, I must be in San Diego this week. So I guess it's 3 hours different. It's a joke. It's a joke. So regardless of the football stuff, Geno Smith personally has taken he's flying in a down spiral right now. Whether it's missing team meetings, you're hearing more bar fights, swearing at fans. I mean, I am somebody that truly believes that Geno Smith should be given the keys to this car and see where it goes. But if you're going to drive the car off of the road with off the field stuff, that's a different story. It's not right now. My concerns with Geno Smith are on the football field, but they're more about off of the football field, Zach.
Right. No, I totally agree with that comment. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, there's no excuse for Geno, you know, to go to no more. You can't make excuses. It's the NFL. He's got to know that. You know, he's got to make sure. He's got to grow up. He's got to realize that, you know, there are more important things in that, you know, time zone. You know, that was too funny. You know, I honestly don't think that's the truth. You know, but Rex is obviously going to back him up.
Yeah,
and
but
I
you
think
can't
Rex...
back him up. You can't back him up. You cannot back somebody up for
right.
missing a team meeting before a game because of a time zone change. I mean, is he stupid? That's my question.
Right.
Are you stupid? Are you dumb? You're in San Diego. How do you not know what time it is?
Right. You know, people are saying, you know, maybe this could be the biggest mistake, you know, with Geno staying with Rex. Right. I think he should. But, you know, we didn't see anything from Vic. You think Vic can do any, you know, provide a spark?
I don't. I don't think Michael Vick is worse than Geno Smith. I think Michael Vick shouldn't step foot on the football field again. I think everybody saw how bad he was in the last game. But it's not about that. You're a 1-4 football team, and your rookie, your second-year quarterback is acting like a rookie and needs to be held accountable for his actions. And you're not and brushing it off by saying, "Well, it was an honest mistake." No, it's not. No, it's not. You're a grown man. You don't know what time it is? Are you kidding me? That's
right.
Ridiculous.
That's
you can't as a head coach of a football team. I love Rex Ryan. I really, really do. But you can't back somebody up for something like this and say it was an honest mistake. You need to hold him accountable and say, "Look, this is how it's going to be. Here's a fine, and you're going to sit the first half of the football game, or we're going to bench you for the whole game." Because if you're going out there and you're going to let him do it once, and you're going to let him get if you're going to let him get away with it once, what's to say he's not going to miss another team meeting? What's to say he's not going to have another off the field problem? If you want to help develop a young quarterback, he needs to know this is the freaking National Football League. Check your phone and know what time it is.
Exactly right. No, you know. That's the thing, but you know, I really hope that you know whether I hope if Rex goes, you know, and if the Jets really don't, you know, finish out the season well, you know, I really hope that that Woody you know, doesn't base his job based off of Geno's performance, which
it's gonna be a collective thing, Zach. It's gonna be a collective thing, and I think that it's going to, you know, the season is still young. Everybody knew. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: the Jets are losing games right now. They've been underdogs in every single game they've played so far, except for the Raiders game. They're expected to lose these football games. Are they expected to walk into San Diego and get the doors blown off of them and have quarterbacks missing team meetings because of time zone changes? No, that just puts fuel on the fire. But the Jets right now can make this a two-fold season. You're going to see, I'm telling you right now, Sunday is going to be the big key whether they show up or not. And, Zach, I want to thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Take care. Let's go to Glenn, who wants to talk about Geno Smith and his Reese's Pieces and his Diet Coke at the movies on Saturday. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, how are we doing, guys?
Yeah, pretty good. What's up, Glenn?
I think the main part of it is that, you know, we got to stop saying the movies, because he clearly wasn't at the movies. I mean, it was the best excuse he can come up with on short notice. Who says, I was late for work today or didn't come to work today because I was at the movies? And somebody says, what movie? And they go, I don't want to discuss that. He didn't see a movie. If he'd seen it, he would have said the movie. But he knows, oh, God, if I say what movie, someone's going to ask me a question, and I'm not going to be able to answer it. So I'm going to pretend like it matters, like I'm dragging the – I think that's what he said. You know, I don't want to address that. That's not important. Of course it is, dude. You're lying. Like, you're supposed to be a grown-up. Was there not a team meeting 4 days ago, and offensive players only, to talk about accountability and responsibility? And this guy who's supposed to be the face of the franchise, he's supposed to be the guy they're going to build around, he misses a meeting and comes down and throws for 27 yards and lies about where he was. I'm sure a 22-year-old guy with some free time in the middle of the day in San Diego is going to go sit in a dark movie theater and watch Ben Affleck. You got to be kidding me. It's a total joke. He's obviously lying. There is no way Rex – the only reason Rex has his back on this is because Rex knows he's on his way out the door – and he doesn't want any other GMs, any other owners looking at him and saying he's not selling the company line.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I find it ridiculous. I like the point that you brought up, Glenn, that you say that they had a meeting earlier in the week to talk about accountability and what's everybody's problems. And then Saturday, then a couple days later on Saturday, he misses a meeting. And you're right, he probably wasn't at the movie. He's probably at a strip club or some kind of party and getting drunk or something stupid like that. But it's bad because he's supposed to be the number one quarterback, and he's not showing up to meetings. But do you think a guy like Matt Sims, is who's on the practice squad right now, isn't showing up for meetings? I guarantee you that guy's showing up for meetings, so why not give a guy – I know that everybody's going to say, oh, Matt Sims shouldn't start, but if he's not showing up for a game, then bench him. Play Michael Vick, play Matt Sims, because if he's not showing up for meetings, then he clearly doesn't want this job as bad as he says he does. And especially as a quarterback, you're not going to be a successful quarterback in the NFL if you're not in the film room 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, practicing and studying all day. So if he's not inspired and he doesn't want to do it, then don't do it. Let Vic come in, let him be a Band-Aid for a year, let Matt Sims come in, and we'll draft another quarterback next year or pick up in free agency. If you don't want to be here, then leave, you know?
I mean, absolutely, and I think as fans, it's hard for us to fathom. Like, we forget that these guys live in a different world than we do. When you're a pro athlete, you've kind of been pushed and babied through your whole life. You've never been told no. You always get your way. So Geno just, I mean, clearly, you know, we all know how to prioritize. You know, a lot of us, I travel for work. When the second my plane hits the ground, I say, what's the local time? And I set my watch to it. I know where I got to be. But because it's a priority. It's my responsibility, like whether I like it or not. So to say that I'm an NFL player and I didn't, you know, it's if it was a priority, it wouldn't have happened. So whatever he was doing, whether he was partying or just sleeping in, to him, that was more important than being ready to play in that game that he went out and threw for a whopping 27 yards. And then they stick with him and send him out there again. I mean, I know you know, you mentioned Matt Sims. He's obviously not in a position where he has any leverage. But can you imagine that? Can you imagine the guy in front of you, the guy whose job you want, is not only the worst in the league at doing it or the worst in the company if you have a regular job, there's nobody worse than him, and he doesn't show up to get ready to work?
I don't think he's the worst quarterback in the league. I think that's a stretch.
I mean, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody worse. I mean, how many quarterbacks are completing 50% of their passes?
I watched Michael Vick play the second half. I watched somebody worse last week.
Right. Well, I mean, you may think that, but it all depends on what you're...
Who doesn't think that?
Anyone who thinks that hitting your target is the prime object, is the purpose of the quarterback.
So
Vick hit his target 50% of the time. Gino hit his target 36% of the time.
Yeah, but he also threw more passes. And the San Diego had their second string, the third string defense out there at the end of the game last week.
Right.
When Michael Vick was put into the game at halftime, the game was it was a 3-touchdown game, and San Diego was still trying to compete. And Michael Vick was 1-for-11 at some point. And then after San Diego finally put the game to bed, they put out their garbage time players, their third string guys, and he completed a few passes. Michael Vick looked like one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen in watching football since I could comprehend what was going on the television screen.
And Geno Smith didn't.
No, Geno Smith looked bad, but as the Jets looked bad,
4-for-12.
But Michael, come on, Glenn. You think Michael Vick gives the Jets a better chance to win than Geno Smith after what you saw last week?
Okay, right now we're basically arguing over who's hotter, Roseanne Barr or Rosie O'Donnell. These guys are both atrocious.
They're both atrocious, but
one of them shows up to work and the other one doesn't.
When is Kate Upton walking through the Jets locker room?
You know what? I said it today talking to some of my buddies. I know GMs are super protective of their draft picks and all this. I don't care. I'm done with it. This draft, wherever the Jets are picking, I don't care if it means trading multiple firsts and a couple of seconds. Get the number one pick and get a quarterback. I think we've waited long enough. I'm tired of the Band-Aids. I'm tired of the second rounders and crossing our fingers while these teams in the top 5 and top 10 always get these elite quarterbacks. Everyone likes the idea of, hey, let's take somebody late and, you know, we'll develop them. And if you just look at the numbers, look at quarterbacks that go to the Pro Bowl and that go to the Super Bowl, yes, there's the exceptions, the Bradys and the Wilsons, but by and large, they're the top picks in the draft. They're elite. They show it from the beginning. Geno Smith played in a video game offense in college. He still can't take a snap from under center. I mean, for crying out loud, I would think if you took someone who never took a snap in their lives and gave them an 8-hour day to work from under center and backpedal, they could handle it. This guy works out of the shotgun. When he sees pressure, he turns and sprints for the other end zone and looks like he's never picked up a ball in his life. And this is the future of our franchise. He might be good one day, but you look at him, you cannot tell me that guy is less than 3 years away from being good. It's terrible. And they need to just say, you know, I don't want a Ricky Williams deal. Don't trade an entire draft. But I'm telling you, trade this year's first, next year's first, a couple of seconds, and get an elite quarterback. Enough of this. It's year after year. I mean, we're arguing who's better, the guy who threw for 27 yards or the guy who threw for 45 yards in garbage time. This is our argument right now, while other teams don't have this issue.
Okay, so what's your other option then right now? What else would you like to talk about in terms of the quarterback position?
Yeah, no, I understand your guys' point about how he played really bad, but then you have guys, you can't blame it all on him. You had guys like Nelson who had one catch in the game again. He fell down on a deep ball. You have guys like Salas who are falling on deep balls. A guy like Curley who has 24 yards. He's supposed to be our number one receiver. And then even special teams, you have guys like Salim Hakeem who seems to always just run it back to the 14 or 15-yard line and get hit and go down. He's not providing anything. I watched the tape again. The receivers were not getting open. There was a couple times where Geno had to just throw it out of bounds. So I do blame Geno, but there's a lot of problems on our team right now. When you have 74 passing yards in a full NFL football game, that's not a good thing. But you do see rookie mistakes or young quarterback mistakes, like when – I forget exactly when it was, but when Geno scrambled away and then he broke a couple tackles and then he thinks he doesn't have any time when he clearly has a couple seconds to throw the ball and he just wings the ball out of bounds. There's little things he has to work on. I still think he has a shot to be not a franchise quarterback, but he can hold it down for a little bit. If he sticks it on from here on out for the rest of the season, I don't think that we have to go and trade a whole bunch of draft picks for a quarterback, because Jets in recent history aren't great at drafting players.
You know something too, Joe? They're also, again, we came into this year looking at this schedule, and the Chargers game was the first eye-opener that we said, wow, this team really got exposed. Where we came into this season, this is a twofold schedule for the Jets. where after they get through another, they're playing Peyton Manning and the Broncos this week, and then they go into Thursday Night Football into Foxborough and play the Patriots and Tom Brady. These are games that you're going to be a touchdown or plus underdog in, okay? So the Jets this year have come into this part of the year, and they've almost – now you're looking at a team that folded. I mean, again, let's talk about – can Geno Smith tackle on a defensive line against a fourth-string running back who tore them apart in San Diego? Can Geno Smith cover Antonio Gates? Can Geno Smith run the ball and get the ball past midfield and have some type of running game? Can Geno Smith play right tackle and keep, you know, like what Joe said, 35% of his attempts he's being rushed? I mean, there are so many problems that were exposed by San Diego that makes you say to yourself, wow, because we got out of the Chicago game, we said to ourselves, man, the Jets just keep beating themselves. They keep beating themselves. The Detroit game, the Jets keep beating themselves. And this game, the Jets got what Rex Ryan said, it was an ass-whooping. And their defense needs to be held accountable, because I don't want to hear, you're not going to give me the whole, well, the defense is out there so much that they get. The defense on the first drive when San Diego touched the ball looked embarrassing. They were embarrassed by San Diego.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, so come on. Go ahead, Joe.
They did, and Rex acknowledged after the game. He said that, you know, the game plan was to come out, make Rivers throw, and they basically dared them to run. They only went with one nose tackle. You know, they deactivated the backup, and they went with Ikem and Polly to get a little more pressure on Rivers. And I think they just kind of rested on their laurels and said, look, nobody can run on us, so we don't have to worry about it. And they went in there with a game plan to just stop the pass. San Diego said, well, we're going to try the run, and once it worked, there was no reason to stop.
They couldn't stop either. They couldn't stop the pass. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't run the ball.
To me, if you had to say pick one thing that was encouraging after that disaster, the fact that Milner only missed two snaps and we didn't see him get burned. We saw him bat a couple passes away. He looked better. I'm glad that Decker didn't play. They just needed to rest him. I mean, a hamstring, you keep putting a guy out there every week, you're going to keep getting a guy who plays the first quarter and then has to pull himself. Rest Decker. Milner's healthy. Does this mean they're going to be world beaters now? No, but those are two positives. But it was only a matter of time. Again, looking at that schedule, all those quarterbacks, this banged-up secondary, somebody was going to expose them. It was going to happen, unfortunately. And it happened this week. You know, now we get to watch Peyton this week, and that'll be a blast. But thanks so much for taking my call, guys. Doing a great job. Have a good night.
Hey, Glenn, pleasure as always. Thank you so much for calling.
All right, take care.
All right, so let's go to a break here. When we come back, we want to talk about the big question is this the game that's going to make or break jobs for the Jets? Do they quit, or do they show some life this weekend against the Denver Broncos? Are they dead, or can they come back to life with a decent performance against Denver this week? Is there any chance that they don't lose by two touchdowns this week? Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio. Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. Pack in the wind. Battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up. Honky better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems
to me like you have a serious case of bad music. Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous? It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death. Oh no! What should I do? I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living. Thanks, Doc!
Back from the break here on Jet Nation Radio. Brandon, before we got into the Broncos game, I wanted to bring up some more of the negatives and see what you thought about them. We saw some things from prior. You saw some of his rookie mistakes, him missing tackles. You saw the defense looking gassed. They look uninspired. They're starting to look like they're getting angry towards the offense that's not moving the ball. Some other things that I noticed is you have Walls getting picked on versus Keenan Allen that first quarter. I thought Keenan Allen was going to have close to 600, 700 yards. You have Antonio Allen getting picked on by Antonio Gates as well. Like you said before, we finally crossed the 50-yard line by a penalty with 7 minutes and 35 seconds to go. That was embarrassing. You have things from management, like only dressing 4D linemen, because I remember at a time in the fourth quarter that Sheldon Richardson went down and people were scared about who was going to play. So I think I thought there was things like that that were poor by the defense, just like Calvin Pace lining up on Eddie Royal. So there was many negative things for this, but a lot of Jets fans saw. I wrote this down too, that Kyle Wilson is still pretty bad. He got beat on a deep ball right over his head. It looked like a pretty easy ball. But there were so many negatives from this, Brandon. I just don't understand how we get over this and that quick in 1 week going to play the Broncos. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they're going to get over it. I really don't. I mean, here's my biggest negative. And one thing about Rex Ryan, that the reason why Rex Ryan is still the coach of the Jets, in my opinion, is two reasons. One, his defense always shows up to play. That's the biggest reason. His defense is always showing up to play. They very rarely get blown out. They very rarely are exposed. There's always one facet of his defense, whether it be the secondary with all the good players that they've had in the past, or now the run defense and the defensive line. They both looked horrible. And then my second thing is that Rex Ryan is a player's coach, and that's such an overused term, but Rex Ryan has the back of his players, and the players have his back. They don't quit on Rex Ryan. They show up and they play their hardest on game day, and they play for their coach, and he can motivate a group of guys better than most in this league. That's one of his specialties, is a good defense and people playing their hearts out for him. And if you're going to tell me that the defense is getting torn apart and the players are giving up, and they're showing up for a big game in San Diego, and they're laying ducks all over the place on offense, defense, special teams, and it's a collective team beatdown. And you got DeMario Davis saying, well, you know, guys aren't studying that hard, and Geno Smith not showing up for team meetings. Then as an owner and as a general manager of a team, what upside is there in having Rex Ryan around? I think there's tremendous upside in Rex Ryan. I'm a big supporter of him. But if you take Rex Ryan and players, this is going to be a big test this week, Joe. I'm telling you right now. Because if the Jets go out there and they lose this game 42-3 or 42-7, and Peyton Manning throws for 450 and 4 T-Birds, and you know, and the Jets are getting booed out of the building, and it's embarrassing, and there's 40,000 people there by the halftime, it's going to go back to saying, hey, where is your coach that likes to play the underdog role that fires up his guys? Where is the team that rallied around Rex Ryan in Miami at the end of the year last year? This would be a big problem for Rex. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't even think about that when I was saying that the players were gassed and just looked uninspired. You're so right that even if we had a bad team and we have bad talent, that they always come out and played hard. And now when you have bad talent and you mix that with not trying or poorly coached team, that's not a recipe for success. You know, you have a lot of questionable things about the coaching, like such as the pre-snap penalties. The pre-snap penalties have killed us all year, Brandon, especially last game when you're not a good offense and your two number one or your two receivers on the field are David Nelson, who's continued to unimpress me. I really thought he was going to come in and have a better year than he did. And you have Greg Salas, and you're already backing yourself up 5 yards and it's first and 15. Then what are you going to do? And the thing with Ivory again, he has 9 rushes for 44 yards. He's one of the only positives I have from the game. And another positive, before I get on with this, is that Calvin Pace impressed me. You know, he had 6 tackles and 2 sacks. So I like that. He played good other than when he got stiff armed by the fourth string running back Oliver, who had 114 rushing yards and 68 receiving yards, which I found ridiculous that we got torched by a practice squad player. But there's a lot of things that are I understand that we don't have the greatest talent in the world, but when your coaches aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, like I said before, that Calvin Pace is on Eddie Royal, I don't get it. How do you have Calvin Pace on Eddie Royal? And last week I saw David Harris on Golden Tate, who's one of the fastest and shiftiest receivers in the NFL. So there's a lot of things.
Here's my biggest concern, though, Joe, and this is something I wanted to ask you about as well. You know, I'm never one to ever question Rex Ryan's defensive scheme going into a football game. I have complete trust in Rex Ryan in terms of what he draws up. You know, I think he's a great defensive mastermind. You know, obviously what we've seen from him this year going against these guys has been subpar. But, I mean, like, one thing that had me scratching my head, if you're going to build this team from the defensive line and you're going to have, you know, your whole point is, you know, the Jets don't have secondary help to play these Antonio Gates of the world one-on-one. They don't. So why on a third and goal, I think it was third and goal from the 12 or something along those lines, are you sending 9 guys, and you're bringing the house when you have Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson, and Coples going after the quarterback and getting there effectively? Why are you going to put more pressure on guys who don't have the ability to cover one-on-one? I mean, Antonio Gates, he made it look easy against them in the red zone. You know, give them some help, stop with the blitzing, and let's let those guys up front get after the quarterback, because if they can't get after the quarterback without dropping 8 guys into coverage, especially this week, if you're going to blitz Peyton Manning, I tell you right now, he might throw for 700 yards this week. If you're going to blitz Peyton Manning, you can't do it. So you have to rely on the guys up front. Otherwise, I think it's poor, you know, poor managing by this team and a poor job by the general manager who is now taking some heat for the roster he's putting together. Rex Ryan likes to bring exotic blitz packages. And the reason why Rex Ryan's defenses have been successful with that is because he has shut down cornerbacks, mandating the secondary who can cover these guys one-on-one. They don't have anybody who can cover anybody one-on-one right now. They don't. So that was my biggest concern. Why are you blitzing on a third and 12, a third and goal from the 12? All you got to do is keep everything in front of you, and the Chargers are kicking a field goal, then you look at it as a win right off the bat in the beginning of the game. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I think he has to mix it up more, because a lot of teams know that on third and 10 or third and long that Rex Ryan is just going to send the house and blitz. So that is a great point. I think that he's trying to get a little bit too cute with his defenses. For example, like in the Raiders game when he has Quentin Coples jamming receivers at the line, I think he's trying to do too much. And he's getting too cute.
I just think he has to trust guys. I just think you got to – eventually at some point you got to be like, hey, you know, look, I got to give these cornerbacks and I got to give this poor secondary some help. And now what are you going to do – how are you going to do that? Is you're going to drop more guys into coverage. You're going to stop putting linebackers on elite tight ends and wide receivers. And you're going to let your 3 or 4 guys up front get after the quarterback. You know, the best – you know, as horrible as it sounds and as you know, as Jet fans, you don't want to admit it. When the Giants were successful and in their Super Bowl runs, the way they got there was they sent four and dropped everybody else back in coverage. They didn't have elite cornerbacks. They didn't have an elite secondary. But what they did was they had four guys consistently after the quarterback, and I think the Jets have the ability to do that. I just don't get why we're relying on blitzes to get to the quarterback when you have your most talented part of your defense is up front. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, it works both ways because people are going to say, oh, well, if you send everybody to get to the quarterback, then there's going to be no coverage. But then at the same time, if you don't send people, then they're going to be like, oh, well, they have too much time to throw the ball because there's not enough people blitzing. But I do see your point that he should be more diverse. I think that this year he's not drawing up as great of a game plan as he has in past. But another thing I saw was it's probably my favorite quote on Twitter that I've had, and it was from a guy at MON_jet, and he said, "This is the quote, Brandon. I actually laughed out loud after I read this. It was right after the game, and he said, did Bilal Powell piss in Rex Cheerios or something this week? And I died because where is Bilal Powell? You can't give a guy like Bilal Powell who right now might be giving us more than Chris Johnson." Only two carries a game. And then the thing about Chris Johnson that makes me mad, too, I'm pretty sure this is more of Marty Mornhinweg than Rex Ryan, because I'm pretty sure that Rex just says, okay, Marty, you take over the offense, I'll go over to the defensive practice, and I'll manage that. But if our offense isn't moving, where are these screen passes and where are these jet sweeps? I know that usually doesn't work, but when your offense only has 74 passing yards, you have to do something. And then the one time we do run it, another thing about poor coaching is we're about to run it with our newly acquired TJ Graham, and then you have a false start penalty. So there's a lot of things that we have to pick up. We can't be in first and 15s all the time. If Cologne keeps getting penalties, I'm going to go to his house myself. I know I'm not going to be able to beat him up. He's a big guy, but I might put something in his Cheerios. So there's a lot of problems with this team. The offensive penalties are killing me. I can't watch it anymore. It's not just the lack of talent on this team. It's the coaching. It's the lack of discipline.
No, it's everything.
It's Salim Hakeem. Salim Hakeem looks like Cromartie used to. He's 109 yards back from in the end zone, and he runs out to the 14, 15 yard line every time. I don't think I remember Salim Hakeem once running it past the 25 yard line or getting us in good field position. So I think that's another thing we have to look to. I think we have to put a guy like TJ Graham back there.
Yeah, I mean, they have to mix it up. But let's go to Joe, who wants to talk about Rex Ryan. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes, hello. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on the show. I was just listening, and I heard you guys talking about Rex and whether this was going to be a make or break stretch for him. And I think that it's almost you're almost setting him up to fail. If you're going to fire him, you might as well just fire him now, because we're going into Denver, and then right after that on a short week we're turning around and we're going to play New England. We're going to get killed in both of those games. I don't understand how that it's a make or break, because you look at us against the Chargers. I was there at that game. Let me tell you something. If Phillip Rivers could have set his feet on about three plays, he would have had three more touchdowns. It wasn't just the fact that, our defensive secondary is just not talented enough to do any of those things. If you drop more guys out of that blitz and you just have them drop in coverage, they'll still pick us apart. The teams we played will still pick us apart. We don't have a natural pass rusher on our line. So who's supposed to be getting the Phillip? Who's supposed to be back there?
I think they have some guys on their line who can do it. But, Joe, I mean, here's my point. Rex Ryan. I think Rex Ryan has, regardless of, how he's last year, the Jets, I thought the Jets roster was so much worse than it is coming into this year. I thought they did make some improvements. But here's the problem that you're going to run into. Again, the New York Jets have been underdogs in every single football game they've played this year outside of the Oakland Raiders. We're watching the Jets play teams that they are supposed to get beat by, where if they win, if they won any of these games, take out the fact that they're beating themselves. You got to look into it where it's like, well, wow, they beat the Bears, or they beat the Green Bay and Lambeau Field. Those are big wins. You're going to go into Denver this week. You're 8-point dogs. wow, you know, you beat Peyton Manning and the Broncos. You walk into Tom Brady in New England on Thursday Night Football. You know, those are games that a lot of people don't win. A lot of people don't win. So I think from the biggest thing is I saw a lifeless football team on Sunday. They looked lifeless on offense. They looked lifeless on defense. They looked lifeless on everything. So my problem here is Rex Ryan, one of his saving graces is that these guys show up and they bust their ass and have their blood, sweat, and tears on the field for this guy every week. If they go out there and they're getting blown out and they show no life at all, then you have to look at the end of the year and say, wow, I guess this guy is not motivating these guys the way they thought that they was.
Well, when you go out there and you're a team, and I understand what you're saying, but when you go out there and you're a team, you know you're overmatched like we already did. We went in there with no Decker. You had Jeremy Curley at number one. You got Salas out of there, which also I wanted to speak about Geno as well, the guy earlier talking about how we need to draft a quarterback. Hey, Geno's not working with much out there, okay? I was there at the game, okay? I saw the packages with Salas and Curley and you know, no Jason Morrow on the field, giving him no targets to throw to. There's no one to throw to out there that's open. So if we're going to just blast Geno 24 hours a day, yes, he didn't have a good game, but it's not all his fault. And our interior of our offensive line is as trash as you can get outside of Nick Mangold, and he's playing decently. But when you have a Jet team that goes in there that knows they're overmatched, when you have a defense that's frustrated because our offense is not moving the ball whatsoever, eventually they're going to dial down. And, yes, some of them are going to quit on Rex, but that's not all on Rex. Again, because when we came to this season, we knew that we weren't talented. Why aren't people placing the blame where it truly needs to be? And that's on John Idzik. You want to talk about his drafts? You want to talk about his bad free agency moves when he didn't go DRC and he let him walk? And he waited until 11th hour after the Giants offered him something to try to come back after lowballing him. What about all the other free agents that we could have brought in that wanted to play from the Jets, from DeSean Jackson, from other receivers that were out there as well that wanted to come play for us that he lowballed or didn't even take calls from? What about his trash draft class where all the receivers that we drafted haven't done anything for us? Out of the 12 he got, out of 12 picks, we only kept seven of them. And out of the seven of them, none of these guys are doing anything. You got Shaq Evans, who wouldn't have made the team if he wasn't injured because he's trash. Jalen Saunders was trash as well. We didn't see him at receiver at all throughout almost all of the preseason. He wasn't even in the game. Then he comes out with an illness. Then we go on the regular season. He's returning punts. He's trash at that too. We got another receiver that's on – he's on our practice squad. He's not doing anything. We were decimated at receiver last year. So we didn't do anything to improve at these areas. He didn't go after any corners. And the corners that he did go after stiffed him. He didn't plan for that either. So what exactly are we supposed to do here? What is Rex supposed to do?
Joe, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. I think that the Jets offseason was mediocre at best. You're looking at a team that, yeah, $20 million under the cap. I thought it was so ironic, and you know I have to mention it on the show, that Brandon Flowers comes up with the interception at the end of the first half against the Jets. He's out there playing for a bag of peanuts in San Diego in NFL money terms. I thought it was ironic that that happened. I agree with you. The draft class, even though it's so early, you already have one of your picks in the fourth round on another team's practice squad. You have nobody out there making impacts on your team. You know, their first two picks, Calvin Pryor and Jason Morrow, I'm not ready to say anything negative about them because it's still early. But the Jets and John Idzik set this team up with the intention of you're going out there with a roster, let's just wing it and see what we have. And this is what you're going to get. And sure, did they play tight with the Chicago Bears and could have won that game? Mm-hmm. Did they play tight with the Detroit Lions and they could have won that game? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But now you're finally seeing, well, this team is now sitting at 1-4, and who do you blame? Well, you don't have – why is – can anybody explain to me why Champ Bailey's still walking his dog and walking around his house and why the Jets haven't brought him in to give him a tryout and see what he's going on? Could he be any worse than what they have on the field right now? I mean – I agree with you. I think John Idzik did not do enough to improve this roster from where they were, and Rex Ryan is set up with a defense that is all front, no back end, and he's put in a position where he's put in a position to fail. Now, do I think – I've heard some people come out there and say, John Idzik set Rex Ryan up to fail. I think that's nonsense. I think that's absolute nonsense. I don't think anybody who works for an NFL football team is setting anybody up to fail, let alone a GM who knows that his ass is on the line, okay? Mm-hmm. He knows his ass is on the line. So I think John Idzik made terrible decisions in not adding cornerbacks. I think he made poor draft decisions with his wide receivers, and I think he made poor decisions on how to the structure of this football team is. I really do. And I think he deserves some blame, but again, it comes down to we watched Rex Ryan and the Jets last year. We watched them upset teams. We watched them upset the Falcons, even though Atlanta was bad. We watched them upset the Saints. You watch them come out and you play motivated. You watch them play motivated, and that was the thing that was missing on Sunday. No motivation, lack of effort, lack of discipline. That goes on the head coach, and I am one of the biggest Rex Ryan supporters you'll ever talk to, and if he loses control of motivation of his team and these guys aren't playing hard for him, that's when throw that in with the fact that his defense is getting gashed by four-string running backs, there's no upside in having him coach this team. And that's the problem. And Joe, I want to thank you for the call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Can I say something really quickly before
Go ahead, man.
Okay, cause I got a lot of time. I didn't know if you guys had enough time. This is my thing about
Absolutely. The first time caller, man. Rock it out. Let's go. What do you got?
All right. I totally agree with most of what you said, but my thing is this, is that if you look at our schedule last year, it's nowhere near compared to how hard our schedule is this year. Look at who we just played just now, just in a row, a string of games. And then, like I said, after Denver, you turn around on a short week and you play in New England. You can't compare our schedule last year to this year. And I understand, last year I watched. We were in a fight for a lot of games. We weren't getting worn down where you're going and you're playing guys that are just launching the ball like the Lions and like the Packers. And then you turn around, you got to run to the Bears. These are tough teams, back to back to back to back to back. It's like we're in the AFC North or something like that. Or the NFC North. We're just battling. These are very, very tough teams.
I agree.
So it's like you have to take those things into account. And I do understand that, the earnest is on him because he's a head coach and look at the football team. But Marty Mornowicz has no clue what he's doing out there. You got Ivory when he's a dominant run back, when he's the guy that's making the plays and running the ball, all of a sudden he has two or three hot runs, gets us down the field. You snatch him out and you bring in Chris Johnson, who's running like a Catholic schoolgirl right now. Come on. You can't do those things. Like, this is what that's what I'm saying. And I understand that Rex is going to be the fall guy for this. I understand that he's going to take the heat for most of this. But understand. Yeah, he doesn't deserve it. And I want all Jets fans to hear, if you're hearing me, if you're listening to me right now on this podcast, or whenever you're hearing this, be careful what you wish for. Because if we fire Rex Ryan, first off, if we fire Rex Ryan and we don't fire John Idzik, I'm not going to a Jets game next year. If we fire Rex Ryan and without somebody that can actually replace him, a competent coach actually replacing him, we'll be in way worse off situation. Because if you look at Rex's defenses from the time he got here, they averaged a top five, okay? Top five defenses. You get that to walk out the door. You tell me one coach that gets what he gets out of this team with the personnel that we have. Not one. We'd be getting destroyed. We would be getting destroyed if Rex Ryan, the defensive genius, was not coaching this squad. Our defense would be complete trash. Our offense is complete trash as it is. I tell you who needs to be fired. It's Marty Mornowicz and it's John Idzik. Those are the two guys that need to be fired. Rex didn't pick either one of those guys. He didn't pick either one. Not one.
Joe, I agree with you, man. I really do. I agree. I think, you know, you're preaching. I mean, me and you are on the same page. I think that it comes down to it. I really do. And, as fired up as a Jet fan you are, I love it, man. I wish it could be positive, but this is the situation we're all in. Like I said at the beginning of the show, everybody has their own people they want to place the blame game on, you know?
Yes. And can I say one more thing about Calvin?
Absolutely.
I just want to speak on Calvin Pryor. Calvin Pryor was a decent selection there. I think I always believed that I rallied for Kelvin Benjamin. I know people hated him going into the draft. I loved him. I thought what he is right now is exactly what I thought he was going to be, a big guy that can catch the ball and get in separation. That's the same thing he did in college. Everybody called him slow. When I watched him, he wasn't just catching balls and, you know, running over guys. He was catching balls and running away from people. And that's exactly what he's doing right now. I think that if we would have drafted Brandon Cooks, or Kelvin Benjamin at the same exact spot that we got Calvin Pryor, we might be better off. Because we could have got another safety and slapped him in there for what we're getting out of Calvin Pryor. He takes horrible angles. He takes horrible angles. The exact same problems that he had in college he has now, he can't cover. He couldn't cover a bed with a bed sheet. I watched him. I watched him that entire game in San Diego. Yeah, he's a big hitter. That's awesome. But you know what the problem with being a big hitter is? It's you let the guy catch it. To hit somebody, you got to let him catch it. And that's what he was doing. Not just letting guys catch it, but he also does not rap when he tackles. So if you survive that first hit like Gates did, like who else did? Like that big that fourth-string running back, because the fourth-string running back ran him Oliver. That was his name. Oliver ran him over on the way to a touchdown. Why? Because if you survive that first hit and you can survive him drilling you, you can get away because he's not going to rap. He missed a wide-open tackle, an open field. He had the angle and slowed down. That was on that I think it was like a 52-yard catch after Phillip Rivers swung out and Oliver had swung out and he was wide open in the flats and Rivers hit him. He missed a wide-open tackle. He had the angle on the guy, slowed down, and still couldn't make the play. I'm not calling him a bust. I'm just saying he is what he is. And again, John Idzik, what was our problem before we went into the draft? We had in-the-box safeties. That's all we had. We had a problem with covering tight ends left and right. So our answer is to draft another in-the-box safety? That's what you do. This is how the Jets – oh, draft a guy that can't cover and still put him in there because he's young and fast. It doesn't make a difference. He can't cover. That's the problem. He can't cover. And we're asking Pryor to do things that he just does not do naturally. So all this stuff in motion is going to build up to a bad season. I looked at our roster before the season, even with Dimitri Patterson, and he was trash. He is a trash cornerback, and I knew he was trash when we got him. And that was just a safe face because we missed out on all the other cornerbacks.
Joe, can I ask you one question?
Yes, go ahead.
Do you feel better?
Yes, I actually do. I feel a lot better.
You feel better, right?
I wanted to go.
You're gonna hang up. You're gonna hang up this phone. You're just gonna go. I want you to do yourself a favor. I want you to pour your glass. You know, of course, I'm assuming everybody's of age. I want you to pour yourself a nice glass of Jack Daniels. I want you to put your feet up on your coffee table, and I want you to just relax. You feel so much better. You got it all out there, my man.
Oh,
it's all out there.
Thanks.
Take a deep breath. Go have yourself a Jack Daniels and relax yourself because I'm sure you feel better. And Joe, we're gonna jump over to our picks of the week and pick the game. But Joe, I think your one liners had your Rodney Dangerfield comedy impressions were fantastic. So do me a favor. I want you to take a deep breath. I know you feel better. Go have yourself a nice glass of Jack Daniels. Go relax, and I hope to hear from you next week. All right, my man.
All right, thank you so much, and thank you for letting me call in and say what I have
anytime,
to say.
Anytime, Joe. I better hear from you next week, man. I better hear from you. You got to become a regular for me.
All right, I'll definitely try to. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Joe. And and that was that's what the Jet fans we have right now, Joe. Our other Joe. I feel like I got 17 Joes I'm talking to right now. That's what we have going on. You know, it just you have to. Here at Jet Nation Radio, we are also a venting group for Jet fans to call in and let their feel better, like Joe did right then and there. But Joe, as much as I would love to keep going on that topic, we got to jump into our picks of the week, and I had a pretty good week, didn't I?
Yeah. Before I get into that, though, I really love some of the points that the other Joe made. By the way, I love the name if he's listening. But he made great points, just like real quick, you know, putting Pryor as a covered safety when you clearly know he's a strong safety. He's supposed to be in the box when you already have guys like Jarrett, like Landry, like all these guys who are in the box safeties. And then you're going to fire a guy like Rex Ryan when his first two receivers are guys like Salas and Nelson. So he made some excellent points, but Brandon, let's get into some picks. I'm ready to redeem myself this week because last week you were 4-1 and I was 2-3. I learned my lesson. I don't think until the Jets prove me something, I'm not going to pick them.
Who are the idiots that picked the Jets?
It was both me and you. You know, if we learned our lessons from the last couple of weeks, you would have been 5-0 and I would have been 3-2. But overall. right now I'm 15-10 and you're 14-11. So this week I'm looking for a big week.
Man.
I have to pick it up. The pressure's on. I believe in myself to be the best when pressure's on. So I'm ready, Brandon. Tell me the game. Let's get this going.
All right, I'm one game away, baby. I'm like the Kansas City Royals. I don't die. I just keep coming. Pittsburgh goes into Cleveland. The Brownies are favored by 2. Joe, who do you like and why?
I'm gonna take the Browns in this one. I'm gonna take the home team. The Steelers, yeah, they're 3-2, but they lost to the Bucks. They lost to the Bucks. They almost lost to the Jags. The Browns last time, they got beat on a last second drive by the Steelers. They lost 27-30. You know, the Browns have shown me some of this year. I didn't think they'd be as good with Brian Hoyer as their starting cornerback. But they've been competitive with a solid team, in my opinion, like the Ravens, and they even beat the Saints, who I know aren't living up to potential this year, but they still have Drew Brees, so that's a good thing. So I think the Browns are surprising me a little bit this year, and I'm going to have to take them in Cleveland, in the dog pound, because it's going to be rocking there, and they're going to be looking for a big division win.
This is the game I'm going to make up on you. I'm going with the Steel Curtain. I think Pittsburgh is coming off. They need this win. They cannot lose another division game. They beat Cleveland last time by the hair off their chins. I think they go in there, they play a good game, and I think Cleveland's playing a little bit over their heads. I think Pittsburgh's going to get a W. Carolina goes into Cincinnati. This is a big game. Carolina on the road, Cincinnati coming off of a big loss in New England. Who wins and why, Joe?
I'm going to take the Bengals, even though last week I picked them against the Patriots, and that's another game you made up on me because you took the Patriots. But I'm going to take the Bengals in the Tundra. They usually play very well at home. They're a very good home team. Their fans are very, very loud. So I'm going to take the Bengals in this one, and especially because the Panthers so far this year have been blown out by other AFC North teams. They lost to Pittsburgh by 18, and they lost to the Ravens by 28. So I don't know if it's something with the AFC North that they have the Panthers figured out, or it's the style of play with the strong defenses, the run games, and the short passes that is taking the Panthers by surprise, and they can't keep up with them, or what exactly it is, because I'm not as big of a Panthers fan as I obviously am as Jets fan, so I don't look into it as much. But they've been having trouble against the AFC North team, so I'm going to take the Bengals in this one because I think they're going to want to redeem themselves after an embarrassing Sunday night blowout against the Patriots.
Can you stop looking and cheating off of my sheet? I know that you want to make up games. I know you're really starting to cringe to that one game lead on me, but I'm going to go with the Bengals as well. I think Cincinnati is coming off an embarrassing loss. They got humbled last week. They're going into home. They're 7-point favorites at home. I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. Dallas, the Cowboys survived the late game heroics by Fitzpatrick and the Texans. They go into Seattle, who, you know, last night they looked a little, they didn't look like their Seahawks self on Monday Night Football. Dallas goes into Seattle. Who do you like and why?
I'm going to take Seattle, but I have to admit that I can admit my wrongdoings. I can admit when I was wrong, just like when Joe the caller before said that Kelvin Benjamin's been good. I thought he was going to be bad, and to be honest, I thought the Cowboys were a 5-11 team this year. I thought their defense was atrocious, which they're still not great, but they're still sitting at 4-1 atop their division. So I think the Cowboys are going to come out and they're going to compete. They've been impressing me. They blew out the Saints 38-17, so they've definitely impressed me. I really thought they were going to be a bad team, but I don't think that the Cowboys defense can handle the Seahawks offense. And more of an important point is I don't think their offense is as good as the Seahawks defense. I can tell you right now, I am very excited to see a guy like Dez Bryant go against a guy like Richard Sherman. I think they're going to butt heads a lot. It's going to be a great game. I'm definitely going to take the Seahawks in Seattle, though. I don't think the Cowboys are, even though they are 4-1, I don't think they are a talented enough team to be 4-1. I think they got a little bit lucky and a little bit of just a little bit of luck this season, Brandon. So I'm going to take Seattle in this game. How about you?
Not even close. I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks. They're 8-point favorites. I'm going with the Seahawks. It's going to be a big game. Dallas is going to try and prove themselves. Seattle at home, no contest. Giants go into Philly. Philly coming off another big win at home against the Rams. The Giants looking like their offense has provided them a spark. No Rashad Jennings in this game, though. I am going to pick first this time because you keep cheating off of my sheets. I am going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles at home. I think Philly takes this game, and I think that the Eagles are going to, you know, mark their territory as the best team in the NFC East. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. I'm not cheating off your sheet, but I don't think, you know, the Giants looked really bad in the beginning of the season. I know they won three straight, but I don't think that they're going to come in to Philadelphia and beat the 4-1 Eagles. You know, the Eagles have been in close games, usually within a touchdown. The only game that they haven't been within a touchdown was the Jags in Week 1. So I don't think the Eagles are as good as everybody thinks they are. I don't think they're an amazing 4-1 team. But I'm gonna take the Eagles in Philadelphia against the Giants to put the Giants at 3-3 and the Eagles at 5-1.
All right, Joe. Oh, let's do it. I mean, should we even let's even let Bart Scott we'll throw a little
can't
bit of
wait.
A, yeah, that's right, Bart. As we go into Sunday. I think if I had you too, Sunday Bloody Sunday would be a proper song to play for this one. So the Jets go into a game, Joe, against the Denver Broncos, getting absolutely dismantled against San Diego. Do they show any life? Do they have a chance? Who do you like in Denver going into MetLife Stadium and playing the Jets? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think before you even ask me that question, you know who I like in this game. It's going to be the Broncos. But you're right. If the Jets come out and they only lose by a touchdown or a field goal, and they prove themselves to be a solid team, and they can come back from getting spanked against the Chargers, who they're a good team right now in the NFL, but I don't think they're as good as the Broncos. So I think that we are going to get beat. I think the score is going to be something like 34-20. But we do have a chance. Obviously, we're an NFL team, so we have a chance. We're going to have to play an absolutely perfect game. We can't have any more penalties, pre-snap penalties. We can't have Geno getting pressure every time he throws the ball. Hopefully Decker is going to be healthy because he'll come back against his old team and play with some heart. So I'm hoping the receivers sort of get open a little bit, and hopefully David Nelson has more than, you know, one catch, 5 yards. We're going to need to pressure Peyton Manning, like you said before. We're going to need to send only five or four guys, and hopefully our D-linemen get to him. Another point is we're going to have to run the ball. We can't just, you know, try to balance it out and have Marty be trying to get, you know, Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory at the same amount of snaps. So if Ivory's hot, we're going to have to ride the hot hand. I think we're going to have to get a little more creative. We're going to have to do more screens. We're going to have to do more, you know, play actions. We're going to have to get in the ball in the guy's hands who can make a play, because we haven't so far this season. We're going to have to get rid of the ball quicker. We can't have guys like Calvin Pace or David Harris on Wes Welker or Emmanuel Sanders, because they'll get blown by every time, and they'll score every time. And we have to maintain the clock and have slow drives to keep Peyton Manning and the Broncos off the field, because we're going to have to do it. It's going to be a tough, tough game, but I'm predicting the Jets to lose. But the only thing I want to see, Brandon, I want to see some heart. I want to see some fire. I want to see the defense step up, and I want to see the receivers step up, and I'll be happy. But I definitely do not expect to win this game. How about you?
I don't think they're going to win this game. I really think that it's going to come down to one thing, and that's going to be, do you see a team with any type of life in it? This is going to be a make-or-break game for the Jets this year, and that doesn't mean they have to win. It doesn't mean that if the New York Jets go out there and they get the doors blown off of them, and Peyton Manning is moving the ball with ease, like he could go out there and throw. If Peyton Manning is sitting with a baseball cap on his head in the fourth quarter of the football game, and he's done, and his day is done with 400 yards, four touchdowns, and they're up 41-7 or something along those lines, and the place is half empty, you know, it's going to spark. Well, the team has no life. The coach doesn't have the motivation in the back of his players. The talent's not there. The finger's going to be pointing at everybody. It's a home game. You're playing in front of your paying fans that are showing up to that game. It's it's so critical that the Jets show up to play this game. Does that mean that they're going to go out there, they're going to beat Peyton Manning and the Broncos, probably one of the, if not the best team in the NFL? No. But if the game is blown out, the Jets show no life, the stadium's empty, the fans are fed up, the players are fed up, if it looks like a disaster of a scene, that's when we say, wow, this team really is done. It could be the total opposite. You could be in a big-time game with Peyton Manning in the fourth quarter. If you tip your cap to one of the best of all time and say, we were in this game, let's put a game plan together. We go into a division game on Thursday. Our schedule gets easier. We know we're better than this. We know that we can do that. You know, we know we can improve. Then you can take some type of positives and build on it. If they somehow win this game, all bets are off. Let's get the foot on the gas and let's start, you know, the team will go in obviously in an upward direction. I just don't see it happening. I don't see how they stop Peyton Manning this week. If your idea is blitzing, he's going to beat you. If your idea is, you know, send three guys or four guys, you better hope they get there. I don't see how they beat the Denver Broncos this week. They just don't have enough manpower to do it. I'm going to go with Denver 38-10 in this football game. I don't see how the Jets do anything better than that. I don't. I just want to remind everybody that Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week and JetNation.com is sponsored by Nimble TV. Nimble TV is a free service that lets existing cable subscribers in the Chicago and New York metro area put their channels in the cloud so they can watch it anywhere in the world on almost any device, which means football fans, this Sunday you can catch all the games live even when they aren't at home. So Jets fans will never have to miss another snap again just because they weren't in front of a TV during the game. Go to NimbleTV.com to learn more. Also, remember, if you want to talk football, you want to talk sports, the talk does not stop on Jet Nation Radio. Go over to JetNation.com. The forums are exploding with who is to blame. Everybody has their own personal opinion. Who is to blame for the 1-4 start? Who is to blame for a lifeless football team? Who is to blame for a defense that can't stop anything? And who's to blame for an offense that couldn't move the ball? It seems like the sky is falling. Do the Jets have it in them to show up this Sunday and prove some people wrong and show people that there is life left in Florham Park? I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. We will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.